Good evening, everyone, or good morning, wherever you may be. Either way, thank you for tuning in. I'm starting to call this the Get a Hand Up podcast because I'm hoping that it's helpful to a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, high-level execs, whoever you may be. And here he goes. And in the studio with me, as always, I have the one, the only, the exceptional, the irreplaceable, magnificent Mike.
Buongiorno.
Let's get all the applause out of the way and back to business. How you doing, Mike?
Sweet.
So, this evening, well, it's evening here in New Jersey. We're going to address sort of an awkward question, and it's a difficult question to talk about in day-to-day life. You know, it's sort of like who's going to get the check, you know, one of those awkward things. And it's how much should I invest in digital marketing for my business? And this has been a very common question for about a decade now since digital marketing became an option for businesses. And year over year, the stats have shown tremendous growth in the digital marketing space. But everyone, of course, when it comes down to being themselves, the captains of their own ships, the leaders of their own tribes, everyone has that question of how much should I spend on marketing for my own business? I don't want this to be a one-way discussion. I'm encouraging argument, dissent, just, you know, keep it sophisticated, keep it professional. But I want to hear what everyone else has to say. And Lord knows you can find me anywhere and on any social platform. So no challenge there finding me and telling me whether you agree or disagree. But I think that a huge starting point of how much should I spend on digital marketing for my business comes down to what is a client worth to you. Now, there are some exceptions to this rule. Right down the street, Mike, this probably makes your head get even more inflated, but one of our favorite places to go get a sandwich is Jersey Mike's.
Best sandwiches in town.
They're pretty good sandwiches, I'm going to admit. But let's say a sandwich there costs $7.99,
$8. $8.49.
Okay. What about chips and a drink, Mike?
$2.49 extra.
Yeah, I was being rhetorical. So anyway, I'm sorry. So obviously, you're not going to say to someone, okay, $10. But let's look at it on a bigger scale. You know, what do you, in Jersey Mike's case, I might ask, okay, what do you pull in a day? And maybe what you would pull in one day is what would be appropriate for you to spend on digital marketing for the month. And the reason I say that is because it's a lot easier to set tangible goals and be able to measure them if there is some synchronicity between marketing and what that marketing is worth to you. So if you are, let's say, I will give the perfect example. I will give no names whatsoever.
You sure?
I'm very sure.
Okay.
So as we all know, not all prospective clients make it to being clients. Sometimes they're just not a good fit. And there's one gentleman, and I understand that he was in a difficult financial position personally, but he did also have a partner. And without getting specific, I extended to him a price that would probably make your jaw drop. If we were in a restaurant instead of on a podcast, and I wrote the number down and slid that little napkin over to you at the table, I think your jaw would drop if you knew the number. And for weeks upon weeks, this guy, he did absolutely everything he could to get that number down, or to get it for free, or will you work on commission, and, you know, so on and so forth. But it's funny because I remember him saying that a single client was worth 50 grand. And if you're not willing to spend as much as $2,000 in order to get a digital presence for your business, but a client to you is worth 50 grand, there is a huge, huge disconnect there. Huge disconnect. And I think that when it comes to looking at results, I think that, you know, and I don't have any hard data for this, I'm just speaking from experience here. I think there's a correlation between what you invest into your marketing and how soon and how big are the results that you'll see. So let's say a client for you is worth, I don't know, $10,000, just pulling a number out of the air.
Can I interject?
Please.
The factor of each client, this was actually in Business Week, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
They said that you should be spending 12% of what that client's generated revenue is to you as a business on marketing. Minimum of 12%.
Okay.
But this factored because there was a lot of disagreements, which what if the client's only $500?
And also lifetime value of the client is huge.
Mm-hmm. So for an example, like if there's a client that generates $500,000 a year for you, that, you know, Business Week was saying that you should spend minimum of 12% for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, people were arguing about this. So
right. So that would be 60 grand. Per year for a $500,000
client.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they should be spending. So, yeah, sounds about right, you know.
Now, I'll tell you where the little caveat comes in, because a lot of entrepreneurs and startups and solopreneurs, they look at it from the aspect of what is my budget and what can I afford? And it's, you know, we all have to pay the bills, the rent, food. So it is very difficult not to view it from that perspective. But you also have to view it from the perspective of what will it do for me if my business grows faster and more than I expected. Well, then there's what we have called ROI, return on investment, which means, you know, you should be bringing in more than what you're paying your marketer or paying for marketing as a whole. But if you are paying less than that 12% or less than the equivalent of what a client would be worth to you, then you can expect to wait a lot longer for those results to develop, for a couple of reasons. And so say that, you know, you have photographers. I'll take the example of photographers. We know many, and a lot of them are some of our closest and dearest friends who we love unconditionally. But I will say it's funny because marketing for photographers, They may make anywhere, and I'm talking a professional photographer. I am not talking about someone who has the new portrait mode for the iPhone 7. I'm not talking about someone who just went out and bought the starter kit at Best Buy. I'm talking about a true professional photographer with decades of experience. They may charge anywhere between $1,000 for a very simple, basic type of shoot. They may charge as much as $15,000 to cover your wedding day. They could charge up to $25,000. And believe me, you will get what you pay for. You know, photography is not something that you just pick up and play. It takes years and years of apprenticeship and being someone's mentee to really be a good photographer. But at the same time, I find that photographers are some of the most reluctant when it comes to spend on marketing. So the analogy that I'll often make is that if you average $3,000 per client, then consider putting $3,000 per month into your marketing. And to me, that is sort of the magic formula for really making your business grow and put it into hyper growth stage. That's what I see across the board as sort of a general rule of thumb. Whatever, you know, whatever is the average of your ticket, spend that much per month on your marketing. Don't say that you make $10,000 per client, but you only want to pay a few hundred a month for marketing, and you only want to pay for part of marketing, and you want to know why the phone isn't ringing yet. Because if you want the whole client, you have to invest in the whole part of marketing. So, you know, I hear people ask, well, do I really need email marketing? Do you need it? Need it? No. Is your business going to die without it? No. But is it going to stall the growth pattern for a very long time and make it grow a lot more slowly? Then yes. So if you know that you can get more clients in the door by paying for some email marketing, adding that to your package, then doesn't it make sense to add that, you know, to a very well-rounded digital marketing package? The other thing I would say is to remember that digital marketing works exactly like human interaction would. There's a saying, good marketers follow best practices, great marketers make them. I'm always pushing myself to be the latter, and the fact is that you've heard me say this before, you'll hear me say it a million more times at least. The minute you forget the perspective of your ideal customer, you'll never again be a great marketer. And so you need to establish a relationship with your target audience on digital platforms just the same way that you would in real life. So just the same way that you wouldn't walk up to someone that you just met 5 minutes ago and ask them to buy something from you for roughly $10,000, you also wouldn't do that on digital marketing. And so you'd better make sure that you're investing into the aspects of digital marketing that are going to enable you to recreate human nature. as crazy as that sounds. You know, and so many people are concerned with nickel and diming, you know. And for some, it is what it is. There are some who are starting out, and honest to God, they've got, you know, they've barely got enough to cover social media marketing. And I will always tell people, like you heard me, I think we went over this in the last podcast. I'm not sure where I said.
We did in little detail, yes. We did.
Yeah, little detail of, you know, why social media marketing should always be your first choice if you have to choose. But I do recommend either, you know, making it a more well-rounded package or somehow future-proofing it so that when you do grow your marketing as your business grows, then you'll be able to seamlessly integrate what you've done already, say, with social media, and then work it into content marketing or work it into email marketing. And another thing, too, is I have been very adamant over the years about making sure of the integrity of who you get to do your marketing for you. And because, unfortunately, a lot like photography, it's an unregulated business. Literally anyone can label themselves a professional marketer or a digital marketer just because they had a Facebook page now for, you know, a few months and they think they're hot stuff. So make sure that they're very specific in their deliverables and in their strategy and what they want to accomplish for you. And if you agree with it, and I'm not saying don't shop around, definitely shop around, but get specific. Call people out on it. Call, you know, a good marketer should be able to say, this is exactly what I do for you and why. And I've seen so many proposals from agencies, large and small, as well as individuals, you know, individual or sole proprietors, I should say, who have teams working for them. So I've really seen the gamut. And the one thing that is always a red flag is ambiguity. Like I saw one proposal where they said they don't spend any money. It's all organic. It's all organic. But there was a part of the proposal where it talked about how their expenditure on boosted posts on Facebook was already included in the price. Well, don't advertise that you're doing everything organically when you're going to pay to play. Mm-hmm. You know, be straightforward, be honest with your client, be upfront, because otherwise you're looking at a short-term relationship, and a short-term relationship is never profitable. But the other thing I would say is, like the example I gave before, and I said I wasn't going to release specific numbers, but I just sort of did. So if an average client for him is $50,000, okay, and let's say his minimum goal is one new client per month, then he should be able to spend far more than $2,000 a month on his marketing. It should be commensurate, you know, with the amount that a client costs, because that's how much dedication and loyalty it's going to take from that marketer to make everything work. Digital marketing is not set it and forget it. Mike's raising his hand. Yes, Mike.
The best analogy to use is 30 plus years ago, radio, television, and newspaper were our only deliveries for ads. You know, unless you pick up something printed, something heard, or something seen, you know, that was the only way to deliver. And even then, that was just in a vicinity of where your business is located.
Right.
Because a lot of budgeted, you know, a lot of people would budget that way.
And that wasn't trackable at all.
No.
But go on.
Yeah, you know, you never, unless you physically asked every customer, hey, how did you hear about us or what made you come in? You didn't know. But right. Now, with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and even social media, you can now track down to the location mm-hmm. of where a new customer would come from. So you have to ask yourself this question. You know, if I am pulling in $50,000 a client, let's say my objective is 12 clients a year at $50,000 at each client. If you cannot afford $5,000, which is 10%, to put towards finding a new client, you're going to be out of business very quickly.
Yeah.
It's just like the old analogy of the chef, you know, I'm sorry for taking over the podcast for a moment. I have a friend that's in San Francisco. He runs a food truck, and he said the way he grew was he always stayed hungry. And mm-hmm. I laughed about it. I said, you're a cook. He goes, you don't understand, Mike. He goes, I stayed hungry because I went from one food truck and now he has six in the Bay Area. He always wanted to grow. He grew. The first thing he concentrated on was getting word of mouth about his food trucks mm-hmm. and then marketing, finding out where people were, where people wanted the services that he was offering. And then as he expanded, because he spent more money on marketing, he told me if it wasn't for marketing, he would be out of business right now.
Now, let me ask you a question. When he was growing, or when he was going through any major change,
he increased his marketing budget to compensate for that. So for an example, when he realized one food truck is not going to cover three locations, he went and bought a second food truck, hired more staff and bought more supplies. But as that second food truck was starting to grow in business, he upped his marketing to start advertising more and more.
Right. And I think that's another thing that people need to take into account is what are the changes that have happened in your business, or what are the changes that have happened in your target audience? And this is one of those situations where you can, and it's not really an ageism thing, though, you know, people who aren't very digitally inclined have a harder time understanding the connection of, you know, how different things work. But I've met an awful lot of people who are perfectly young enough to understand and, you know, just choose not to, and they don't understand why they need to market. It's sort of like, you know, my product or my service is so good that people should just line up.
Why does a Nike not need to market? Nike still markets.
Exactly.
McDonald's. McDonald's is a household
global.
Name. Global.
Yeah, globally household name.
Exactly, but they still market. Nintendo markets, Microsoft markets. If marketing wasn't so important, then why would these big multi-billion dollar industries and companies still spend so much money on marketing till this day?
Exactly. And I think it's because they need to take into account all changes, from their target audience to the economy to changing trends. So they've got so many more changes to cover. Their marketing budgets are huge. But for smaller businesses, whether it's a startup, a mid-size, a sole proprietorship, whatever the case may be, you know, it is, that's the reason that I said from the get that, you know, how much should I invest in my digital marketing? Because, you know, for those company presidents who say, why should I market? People should be lining up because my product, my service is so great.
But how are they going to know about your great service or product unless you market it?
Exactly. You could be the last can of Coke in the desert. And if no one knows you're there, you won't be able to sell it for a penny.
But then again, do you really want to drink warm Coke?
In the middle of the desert, I think you'd drink anything, Mike.
I've been in the middle of the desert. I have been to Arizona.
I went to grad school in Arizona, and, well...
Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with Camille's analogy. And, you know, the thing is that my grandfather always said... you know, he was an entrepreneur. He came from Fiji, you know, many, many years ago. And, you know, the industry that he went into, he realized that, okay, even though it is a much demand industry, I still have to market. And you have to understand, my grandfather didn't go to business school, or he didn't know, he just knew how to keep his books and keep inventory in his store. And
but he understood
people. He understood people and understanding that in order to get more people into the door, he had to market the business.
Yeah. And here's another thing, too. Here's another aspect of it. Let's say you do find yourself a great marketer. You find a marketer that you can trust, who can cover a lot of, you know, can cover all your digital marketing needs, and you're nickel and diming them, and you're just really trying to tighten that belt. You know, I can remember one client, you know, literally getting huffy on the phone saying, do you have any idea who I am? It costs, you know, $10,000 just to talk to me. But then when it came to marketing, it was like, you want to charge me $200 extra for what? Why? You know, and then that person automatically, you know, their very next thing was to call up friends and family and find out who will do it for $20 instead of $200. And number one, you get what you pay for.
Very true.
I can remember saying this so many times with that particular client. And the other thing is, the same way that successful digital marketing works by the rules of human nature and just transmuting them into digital platforms and digital lead nurturing and all that, you also have to remember that you want your marketer to be dedicated and loyal to you. And it reminds me of a saying that someone once said. He was an older gentleman from Texas. That's Michael's
mic phone. Sorry.
Yeah, he's got it. It's a dynamite.
From Black Dynamite, the movie.
It's hilarious. Anyway, he said, Camille, let me tell you something. I'm going to chop this up. He said, you can't buy loyalty, but you can't ever afford not to repay it. And for some reason, that really stuck with me. And, you know, if you have found yourself a unicorn, you have found a marketer who is willing to stick with you through thick and thin, who's willing to go above and beyond, understand you're probably not going to find that again. And when it comes to talking budget and talking price, remember that, yes, as marketers, we're supposed, you know, every client is our only client. And, you know, let's do another awkward thing. Let's just get this out there, right? Every client is supposed to feel like they're your only client.
True. The best analogy I could use when it comes to your marketer is they're your biggest hype man. They're going to be the ones that hype up your product. They're going to be the ones that get others attracted. So do you want someone with a soft voice because you wanted to cut corners on marketing, which should be a key principle thing that you should be always, you know, putting the most investment into, to be someone with a soft voice with a plastic stick? Or do you want them to be someone with a very deep, loud voice that carries a bigger stick that gets everyone's attention?
Right, or by cutting corners, you may get someone who doesn't completely speak the language. Maybe they have a big voice, but they don't entirely know the strategies and tactics, so they may have a big stick and a loud voice, but they're just really whacking it against the walls and hoping that something comes of it. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's also that human nature. Let's say your marketer, say you're paying your marketer $1,000 and you're constantly complaining about price, and you're really not willing to invest into, you know, results. You know, that's what you're investing in, results. And your marketer has another client who's paying them $3,000 or $4,000 per month. You may be totally in the dark as to, you know, who that marketer's other clients are, but basic human nature. As a marketer, are you going to risk your $4,000 or $3,000 a month client for a $1,000 a month client who, you know, is, I don't know. Help me out here, Mike.
I was going to say the analogy always stays is that the places you don't cut corners is your accountant, your doctor, your dentist, and your marketer.
Yeah, and here's another analogy, like with the photographers. You know, it's funny because on one hand, they're very reluctant to get a marketer to get them ahead, especially when the market is so oversaturated and so competitive. But at the same time, you know, there's that 80-20 rule where, what is it? The 80% that takes up most of your time actually pays 20% of the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll be the first to say, but, you know, I have special skills and special talents. And the fact is you do. But in any unregulated industry like photography or marketing or what else?
Oh, there's so
many.
Landscaping,
yeah. You don't exactly need a degree for that. Coaching, whether you're coaching Little League or life coaching, you don't technically need you know, a high level certification for that. But the problem here's the other analogy, and Mike, I think you said this earlier today. If I could say you didn't want to pay your dentist, went to dental school, medical school, all that stuff, mm-hmm. Right?
State certified and everything.
Right. But you don't want to pay a couple thousand dollars for a root canal to be done right. Or a bridge.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you, I can do it a lot cheaper. And I go to a yard sale and I find a doctor's bag, you know, full of the tools. And I say, well, I have all the tools. You know, I can do it for you a lot cheaper. Which one are you going to choose?
Yeah, you know, there's times where I see, like, business owners, like, when we speak with business owners and so forth, they tell me, well, they say, you know, in front of us, well, what's stopping me from doing this on my own? You know, going on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and, you know, doing all this. Easy.
I love that.
What's stopping you is that if you're going to be doing that, then why are you in business in the first place? Because now you're doing a job of a marketer.
Well, and the fact is, you know, why wouldn't I do that? Go ahead. Because if you could, you would already have been doing it, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Even if you were doing it, you're not doing it successful
mm-hmm.
enough.
And I'll, you know, there's someone else that we both know. Again, no names mentioned. Fabulous guy. Love this guy. This guy is so talented at what he does. But he just hasn't had the budget for marketing. And I remember going into a store one day, and he openly said to me that he knew he went wrong with this marketing. He knew that he needed my marketing services and that I was the person that, you know, he was going to go to when he was ready. But he just, you know, at the time when we had originally spoken about it, he had no budget. I mean, none. Now, in his case, he was going on about 20, 25 years of word of mouth. And please, if you haven't heard it yet or read the blog, you know, great piece on word of mouth marketing and why it's only going to last you for so long. You know, the people that you have all that word of mouth with, they're aging just as you are. The landscape is changing and words change over time. So you better have a backup plan in place and you better have a new lead generation system in place, because word of mouth marketing may be the best form of marketing in the world, but one thing that's guaranteed, it's always going to run out.
Mm-hmm, because people do die.
Yeah, well, that's a little blunt. Yes, people die. Sometimes their kids don't follow in their parents' footsteps, and suddenly you have a client who used to spend, you know, 30 grand with you per year, and suddenly they're nickel and diming you, and they only want to pay, you know, 5 grand a year, and they're not doing what their parents did. But the point is, you know, relationships change, word of mouth dies, competition grows. You need to evolve. You need to evolve your unique value proposition and what makes you different, your differentiation. You know, all of that, it can't slip. Uh-huh. It really can't slip if you want to stay on top of your game. I mean, ask any athlete if they've ever taken a season off just to rest, but they expect to come back stronger than they've ever been. No, they're training all season. And it's the same with marketing. So,
very true. You know, like Gordon Gekko said it best in Wall Street, money never sleeps.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could be two types of businesses. You could be A, the type that's always staying hungry and growing and thriving and, you know, continual success. Or you could be B, the ones that cut corners. And eventually, if you cut too many corners, guess what? You cut yourself out of the loop.
Mm-hmm. And don't be that person. I actually know a person. You know what? I'll admit it. It's my grandfather. I'm so embarrassed to admit this. This man will go into a restaurant and argue. I kid you not, I was there. I was part of it. Well, not part of this. I was trying to slide under the table as much as I could. This man would argue the price of a bowl of soup with the server. I mean, talk about the most embarrassing moments of your life. You know, as people from other tables are looking over, and is that guy really arguing about $4.95 for a bowl of soup? Mm-hmm. But, you know, just a reminder, you get what you pay for, because I don't remember if he got the soup that day or not, but I'm guessing it's not, probably wasn't pure soup.
No, as long as he got a spoon to eat it with.
Yeah.
So, quick question came up while we're recording the podcast. This was from Jim. It came from Facebook. It says, do I really need video for my marketing?
How perfect.
Yes, it's funny because as we're talking, I'm typing here and I'm looking and it just came through.
This is perfect, Jim. Thank you for asking. And that reminds me, I wanted to make a plug for a guy named Jim Revell, who I met on LinkedIn and had the pleasure of speaking with. Great designer of web assets, especially banner ads, Jim Revell, R-E-V-E-L-L-E. So if you're in the market for banner ads, definitely check out Jim. But anyway, for the other Jim, do I really need video marketing? This is a fabulous question. Number one, is video marketing king these days? And the simple fact is yes. Okay, you could look anywhere at the statistics, and yes, video marketing is king. Number two, where does it fit into your marketing strategy? And I can think of a couple of people who really, really needed video marketing terribly, but they were either not comfortable with the camera, they didn't want to get in front of a camera, or maybe they just, and I'm just being honest here, they were not of the physical, how do I say this nicely, Mike? They were
ugly as sin.
Or not good speakers.
I'm kidding. Maybe they didn't. They're actually pretty nice looking.
Yeah, well, but maybe they were perfectly fine looking, but they weren't great speakers in terms of letting loose and just being authentic with their audience. Well, in that case, then, yeah, you should definitely, Jim, invest into something like explainer videos or animated videos. I will make you a promise, Jim. I will come out with a list of some DIY, do-it-yourself options for video marketing. I know it's something that almost everyone needs from a business aspect, but not everyone's ready to get in front of Facebook Live or a professional camera. So for literally as little as $9 a month, you can get a subscription to an online DIY app where you make your own explainer videos. So definitely, if you feel that you're, you know, maybe too old to get in front of a camera, or you're not comfortable talking in front of the camera, or maybe you have video, but the video that you have is a couple years old and it just seems a little bit not so cutting edge, then definitely, you can have videos made very inexpensively, and they can get so much traction for your brand. And then when it comes to Facebook advertising, believe it or not, you can make a custom audience based on people who have viewed a certain amount of your video, which is like shooting fish in a barrel, because if they were already interested enough to watch your video, then obviously those are the right people to serve retargeting ads to. So yes, video marketing is a must in today's landscape.
Yes, totally agree. So it looks like we're wrapping up. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in with us.
Yes, thank you for spending your time. Remember, money is replaceable, time is not. So,
and any questions that you have for Camille, use the hashtag AskCamille on all social media platforms.
That's right.
Except for on Plenty of Fish. We're not on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah, definitely not on Plenty of Fish. But you can direct message me. You can use the contact form on my website. You can find me on almost any social media platform. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. Very easy person to find, but feel free to reach out with any questions. My two cents is always free, as I like to say. But most of all, thank you for spending your time. Mm-hmm. And I hope this was helpful.
Yes, and we'll see you guys next week for next week's podcast.
Take care. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.